How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions, featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio. Hello and welcome to Like-Minded Friends with me, Susie Ruffle.
And me, Tom Allen. Susie, are you doing it in that style? Because, of course, you've just been on the breakfast, the BBC breakfast.
No, I wasn't. I was just sort of, I sometimes try and do something a bit different. I like to give you options.
That's the thing with you, Susie. You're always giving us options. I love that.
I'm always giving options.
Yeah.
I've been doing a lot of self-tapes.
Oh.
Maybe it's that. I mean, I've not got any of the jobs. It's important to point out.
Not yet, but well, that's the thing, isn't it? And self-tapes, that are like auditions, aren't they?
Well, yes, they're auditions that you have to record on your phone.
Oh, yeah. Do you think phone is better than iPad?
I don't have an iPad, so I can't possibly say. But what I'd do you, say yeah. My phone is good.
Oh, that's good.
Would you
that's
like me to take you through what I do? I do it on my phone and then I airdrop it to my Mac. And then I send it on.
And then you send it on. But you don't record it on, say, the Max, what's it called, camera, yeah.
No, I tell you for why, because often I have to sort of have the script there as a reference point.
I get it.
Sure. And then I send it over to Katie Helps, friend of the show.
Thank you, Katie. Oh, great. And away it goes.
But there is, it's a great way to test a marriage.
Really? What, getting your partner to do the...
Yes.
Reading with you. Yes, I can imagine.
Because Alice is many things. She is a wonderful partner. She's a wonderful mum. She is great at cooking. She's very good at her job.
It's great
She's
company.
Very funny. She's wonderful. Mm. But an actress, she is not.
Okay.
She will stop me halfway through and say, oh, you said okay rather than all right.
Oh, things like that. Yeah. Okay.
And listen, she's just a girl in the world doing her best, but I don't know why I've really come in with
Well, I'm sure she'll enjoy that feedback from today's show, yeah.
I don't know that she listens anymore. She's got the gist of us.
Yeah, she's got the vibe. I get it.
I get this. I don't know why I came in hard. Sorry, I came in real hard this morning.
Susie, please. It's a very exciting day. I know, of course, it is the Lionesses in the semi-final tonight. Date the show too much.
Yeah, I was about to say, is that dating us?
Hey, well, it's up to you.
It's up to you.
Exciting. It's an exciting day. Where will you be watching the game?
I'll be watching the game at home.
Yeah, just on the couch.
Put our daughter to bed.
Yeah.
And get on the sofa.
All right.
It's very exciting.
Will you watch
the game?
I mean, I might do, actually. I'm a bit like that. I'm a bit of a glory hunter, comes in at the end.
Yes, of course. We all know that.
Of course, you know me. But will you be sort of shouting and cheering a lot, throwing your arms up in the air?
Yes, I do that sort of thing now.
Ooh, you go, ooh, what's your kind of...
I say things like, lovely feet.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, that's quite good.
It's exciting, isn't it?
Maisie says I sound like I'm in one of those musicals where you speak sing.
Oh, a Stephen Sondheim, perhaps.
Yeah, maybe Stephen Sondheim, sort of up the wing, that sort of thing.
Oh.
I don't necessarily realise I'm doing it.
That's the joy of it, though, isn't it? It frees something in us, yeah.
It frees something in us, I should say. Mm. Tom, tell us, how's your week been?
Well, very nice, thank you. I've been enjoying the garden a lot this week. And also went to see an Edinburgh preview last night on Upper Street. And I did go through a time of living... Well, I didn't live on Upper Street. I lived in...
More King's Cross way.
King's Cross sort of way. Yeah, I lived in a few places. And you've been around. And the play was set during the kind of late 2000s.
So a period piece.
A period piece, really, yeah. And sort of reflect on that time. And it was a queer story, and it was very reminiscent, I think, to be taken back to that time, you know.
Did the grinder noise feature?
No, that didn't. There was mention of Gaydar Girls.
Yes. When you used to get a message on Gaydar Girls, it would go,
Yes.
Is this the Cicada?
Yeah. It's a slightly, you know, not very good quality sound, I would say.
No. Yeah. Do you know, that's how I met Faye.
Oh, welcome, Faye. Welcome, Faye, to the foray.
Faye listens.
Oh, good. Somebody does.
Faye was my first ever girlfriend.
Yes.
Has also remained a very, very dear friend.
That's very nice. Very mature. But that you've always been a very mature person.
Oh, I don't know. I think I'm quite petty with some of them. Some of them.
Well, it's nice that you stayed in touch with Faye.
With Faye, friends. But that's how we met.
How lovely. And how long were you guys together?
A couple of years.
Wow.
Very young. I was 20 when we met, maybe.
Wow, that's a long time.
Maybe a little bit older, yeah. And then Faye was there when I started stand-up. She was the person that encouraged me to give it a go.
Well done, Faye.
So
well done.
If you hate my stand-up, get in touch with Faye.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness, Faye. Oh my God. Thank you. Appreciate it.
What else was there? What else took you back?
Well, I think it was the sort of sense of, there's a lot of talk about phones in it and people kind of just getting phones. And also it's about petty crime involving stealing phones. But the phone stuff, I thought, like people getting out of Nokia. And I thought, oh, wow, that was very of a time.
Yeah.
That era when...
Do you remember those Motorolas that you slipped down?
Yes.
Not that I had one.
No, I didn't have one of those.
Very good.
Yeah, I remember there were those sort of novelty phones always available.
Phone.
Yeah, so when we renewed our contracts every year, was it? And then it grew to 18 months, yeah. Yes, but then you had to clear out your text messages if you had too many.
Yes. You had to decide which 10 text messages were the most important for you to keep on the
phone. Absolutely. But it sort of... I think it reminded me, I felt quite of a sadness because it reminded me of sort of feeling quite lost during that time. Like, as I think a lot of people do, just sort of not knowing myself and not knowing what I was doing in the world in my 20s. I think there was that sort of, it sort of had a kind of, you know, typical for me, a sort of maudlin air about it. I love to maud.
J'adore
le maud.
Oh, if you got a dog, you should call it Maud.
Maud, yes, and another one called Harold.
Oh, lovely.
That's a good idea. But I did sort of, yeah, it just sort of made me feel like, oh, and I remember, you know, I'd still come like see my family on Sundays, but I'd feel like, I don't know, I'd always be like, oh, gonna go to Bromley. Oh, it's so like, it's so sad around here. It's not cool.
And of course, where do you live now?
And now I love it. But it was sort of that time when, I suppose a lot of people do it when you sort of turn your back on your family a bit.
Oh, yeah, I did that. I remember thinking that Portsmouth couldn't possibly contain me. How arrogant. Yes.
Well, it's true. You haven't...
And I thought I was the only gay. I thought there wouldn't be anyone like me in Portsmouth. Of course, there were loads of queer people.
There were loads of them.
Doing their own thing.
It's a naval town.
Nice time.
It's a naval town.
It's literally swarming. It's swarming with us. You can't swing a cat without bumping into...
Oh, you know, yeah. But I suppose I just sort of feel like, oh, why was I was so sort of, I was so convinced that like trotting around just sort of, I suppose like Islington, I was thinking of like going, I think, I don't know where we used to go in Islington really, but anywhere really, going out anywhere being like, oh yeah, I'm so cool.
Yes.
I'm searching for something when actually, I suppose I sort of feel a sadness now that I didn't realize that I was enough. You know, it was nice to go out, but I think I went out to try and be someone and I didn't need to do that, you know. That's the sadness, I suppose. The maudlinness, I feel.
Yeah. Do you think that's linked to sort of the fetishization of youth? Where you sort of go, you must have everything sorted out and everyone knows what they're doing. And then the older you get, you go, oh, no. No one's got a clue.
Well, that's the great thing about maturity, isn't it, I suppose? Yeah, the older you get, the more you realise nothing makes sense.
Everyone's
just trying their best. I think... Yeah, there was. I regret that there was a sense that I felt, oh, I should know what I'm doing. I should be as somebody. And you sort of occasionally meet somebody who was already on their path, on their trajectory. And I feel so kind of inadequate. Whereas I wish I just sort of embraced like, hey, I'm trying things out. Going on a bit of a whirlwind, trying to do this stand-up stuff.
Totally. I remember feeling like I was not achieving enough at the age I was.
Yes, I felt all the time.
I used to think... Oh gosh, you know, am I ever going to get a break? And I'd be like 26.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, that's exactly how it was.
Oh, God, when am I going to finally do this show? And when am I going to do that?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you're really young still. This is fine.
Yeah, why didn't I allow myself that? And also I realized like the shame I felt of being a stand-up actually, because I was like, oh, it's so showy-offy to be a stand-up.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, like I wouldn't tell people because I could imagine them being like, oh, cringe. Because it was a really sort of judgy era, I felt like that 2000s, early 2010s. I felt them to be really kind of, do you know what I mean? Did you feel that? Was that just me?
Yeah, no, especially in that sort of acting world.
Yes, in the performing world.
People would be, you know, you'd say, oh, I do comedy. And you know, you'd have some people that would be like, oh, I do more classical stuff.
Oh.
Really into doing that. Or like, oh, I wouldn't do an episode of The Bill. I wouldn't do Hollyoaks. I wouldn't do this. And then you get to an age where you go, I'd do Hollyoaks. I'd do everything.
I'd do
anything.
Anyone
that is working is the top 10% of our industry.
Yeah, absolutely thriving. Yeah. Yeah, that it's kind of snobbiness. Or I'd say to people, oh, I do stand up. And they'd be like, well, have I seen you on anything?
Oh,
and I was like, well, of course not. Like, I've been going for, I mean, I've been going for 5 years, which I suppose some people, they are doing lots of things on screen. But at that point, but I wasn't.
Well, neither was I.
And so it was that kind of era, I suppose, you're just sort of feeling like, oh God, I don't know what I'm doing, and and people going, oh yeah, is it, you know, kind of like wanting to know how's it going, and I just didn't know. I just didn't know anything, you know, that kind of, I felt like I was in a blizzard. I didn't know.
And there's that slight desire when you're with those people to sort of slightly overplay how well you're doing.
Oh God,
in a way to sort of try and convince yourself.
Yeah.
As well, to sort of go, yeah, it's actually going quite well.
Yeah.
And in your, you know, if it was a sitcom, there'd be a flashback to you standing on stage to silence.
Yeah,
know?
Absolutely.
It's
actually going really
it's actually
well.
Going really well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I think there was that feeling of, trying to be something, like putting on a bit of a performance a lot of the time to sort of see if I could convince people I was doing okay.
People that have read the book have heard this before, but I don't know if it's the same, but we've never spoken about it, I don't think. But I don't know if it was the same for you, Tom. I also felt like I really wanted to be really successful because I was like, well, I'm gay. I need to do something with my life, which I know sounds ridiculous.
Well, I think that was the era. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I thought I need to be a successful gay.
Yeah.
So that my mum can say something about me at the hairdressers.
Well, I think that was the sense of, and I don't know, I can't compare. I don't know if it was different, if it's different now, if it was different before. But I think we can't forget the context of like what we'd grown up in, of like Section 28 and, you know, and like it was such an unthinkable thing at my school to come out.
Yeah. Oh,
and then,
gosh, yeah.
You know, and so that becomes in your bones, or it did for me. Like it becomes sort of, like, well, that's something you can never tell people. And then even when I did know lots of people and it was a much more kind of welcoming place, it still wasn't the world that it is now, I think.
No, not at all.
And I know the world now is not without lots of challenges.
Oh, absolutely.
But I think that there was that sense of, it was hard. I found it very difficult to just like be myself. I think that's what I fundamentally felt. And I felt that was, I sort of started thinking about that. So.
Yeah, no, that I found it hard to be myself, but all I knew was that I was going to pretend to be someone successful.
Yeah, right. Great, great.
In how you
great
hold
plan.
Yourself, in what
great
you
plan.
Wear.
Great plan.
Great plan.
Yeah.
I am so successful leaving this horrible flat in Clapham Junction with so much mold. And my mum and dad keep asking me why I'm living there. And it's because I want to have a go at comedy.
Yes, I remember that feeling of
what are you
my
behind?
Parents being like, why don't you? Yeah, and I think I just was desperate to be like, well, I was so desperate to be like a version of a person that I sensed from probably Queer as Folk, because that was the only
reference.
Mm. But it was, there wasn't a sort of, I don't know, it was a time when it felt like you couldn't be too enthusiastic about musicals.
Oh, you couldn't be too enthusiastic about anything.
That was it. That's it more so. You'd be interested. People would be like, what?
I remember an insult at school would be someone say that you're a keno. You're too keen
so
on things.
Horrible, yeah.
Like,
so
all right,
spiteful,
keno.
Isn't it? Oh, my God.
And you're like,
yeah.
Well, I just,
just said I like...
I like going to tap lessons. All right, Kino.
Oh, it's such a Kino, jeez. Yeah. Oh, so that
everything
felt so dumb.
So you had to be nonchalant about everything.
Oh my God. That's what I didn't like about the 90s as well. Yeah. Like, I remember that school, like...
Yeah, like, oh, my nan, I guess she's fine.
Oh yeah. And things like that. And that's what I mean. Like, I, you know, now I just love spending time with the people I care about.
Yeah.
And back then I can imagine it would be, you could still do that, but at the same time it would be like, all right, dad, all right, leave you some space. Don't show me up. Mm. Even though my dad would be the one dropping me off at anything.
Of course. Picking you up.
Yeah. I suppose I was probably at my best when I just sort of embraced it and just was like, my dad drops me.
Did you do it in the coach? Because I would have loved that.
Yes.
With your little briefcase in the underbit.
Yeah. yes, I loved it. But was this a thing at your school? I remember, like, if somebody had like a party or a gathering.
Oh, a gathering! Oh, I haven't heard that word in ages.
Well, I didn't know if that was just at our school. Oh, fine.
No, gathering,
A small party, essentially. I never had anything at my house.
No, me neither. I wasn't allowed.
Yeah, quite right. Same. But sometimes you go to someone's house and then, like, somebody had invited people from another school.
Oh, the
one. And it was usually, like, all my friends were the girls. And it was usually, like, boys.
The boys.
Boys from another school, maybe Elton College.
Is that Elton John's college?
Elton John College. Yeah, they were very frightening. No, but it doesn't matter the school, does it? But, like, there would be people from another school and they would be so terrifying to me.
Yeah, of course.
And being kind of unusual, like, I'd carved out a little space for myself to be my eccentric self, hanging out with the girls. And then...
What would you have been wearing at this point, Tom?
Well, I probably would have been wearing a bow tie or something like that.
Yeah, sure. Adorable.
So,
a bow tie and a cardigan?
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, that's really lovely. How old are you at this point?
17, 18. 16, 17.
And you had hair, which of course people find it very hard to imagine.
People find difficult to imagine, but I did. But I remember that sense of, like, those boys sort of going like, who are you? Like, what's this? Yeah, kind of like being really abrasive. There wasn't the sense of like, hello, nice to meet you. Oh, all right. Hello. Nice. There was no kind of friendliness.
No. Because they would have seen that you were gay and that would have been their greatest fear that someone would say they were gay. And of course, some of them probably were. Or bisexual.
You tell me.
But you know what I mean? I often found the people that were most homophobic
were the ones
hiding something.
Oh, I don't think I ever knew anyone like that, really, but maybe I did. I don't know.
Who knows?
But yeah, I mean, it was just sort of that frighteningness. And the friends who were the girls who were my friends, of course, they were, not to be unkind to them, but they were. They'd invited those other people because they wanted to flirt with them. So they were not interested in being like, oh my God, let's all sit down and have a chat. Oh my God, you really enjoyed chatting to him. It was all like, what?
Sorry. Yeah. Oh, I'm watching people get off with each other. Oh my
God. Oh my God. Yeah. You just walk into the kitchen and just sort of, no. And that was never something that was on my menu. That was never on my dance card.
No, of course.
Of course.
Of course. Would the parents have been away?
They probably would have gone out for the night or something.
Yeah. Would there have been booze?
There would have been, some booze.
Would there have been some sort of cheap, sweet wine?
Yes, probably.
Yeah.
Or maybe hooch even.
Yes. Of course, that's making a comeback.
Making a comeback now. Or maybe there would have been beers, but... It would have been, but again, there was like a pressure to, and I never really drank at those things.
Mm.
And I could feel a pressure of like, well, if you get drunk, everything's fun. You know, that's not good, is it?
But Tom, I don't know if you can relate to this. I was quite scared of being drunk.
Yes.
In case I
told everyone
displayed you were something.
Yes, exactly. Of course.
So I'm obviously gay.
Yes. And we're like, what? I mean, probably that is something that did the idea of that probably did appeal to me, but I just was too scared.
Yeah. Anyway, we've made up for it since, haven't we?
We've made up. We've told everybody now.
And we've made up for the drinking as well, I'd say.
Oh, yes. I definitely caught up with everybody in recent years. But yeah, that I don't know. I don't know. That's a sad trip down memory lane.
I don't know if it's a sad trip down memory lane or if it's just, it just is. Doesn't need to, there doesn't need to be an emotion. It just was. It just, I think as well, like, you know, you sort of do what you can to survive.
Yes. You're doing the best.
As a young person. You know, you.
Yeah.
Maybe it'd be different now for us. Maybe it wouldn't. Maybe in some ways it'd be worse. Who knows? Maybe all the online stuff would have been more stressful.
I'm sure that's a huge challenge.
Survived and tried to be you and tried to have fun if you could.
Yeah, that's it really. Yes, we did the best. What is it? You did the best with the circumstances you were given, with the situation.
Is it Plato that said that?
I think it was...
Gloria Estefan.
I think it was Linda Luzzardi. No, I don't. I can't remember. But that's my two pennies worth. I feel like there's also a quote in The Muppet Christmas Carol when the Ghost of Christmas Past, who I always say looks like a poached egg, but I think other people have said that as well. Okay. She says, like, these things are the things that were. They, you know, you can't judge them. They are just what they were.
Yeah.
Like, they just, there's no, because like you say, you are just doing your best. You're just getting through the day. Trying to...
And of course, the other great quote, like the lamp, not the rat, like the lamp, not the rat.
Of course. Who could forget?
Which, you know, so profound to remember.
So profound. And a lovely Dickens line, I think.
Yeah, of course. That's the wonderful thing about The Muppets Christmas Carol. They've really managed to keep a lot of the original text.
The original text in. It's amazing. Yeah. I know that story like the back of my hand. Go on then.
It's very good.
Very good. And I can pretty much quote along the whole thing.
Of course.
But actually, I think it is quite authentic, by the way. I think it does kind of...
Oh, of course. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some more authentic stuff. I don't know with when the mice go and start hula dancing after asking for extra wood fire and he says no.
Yes, there's that. I suppose probably is less authentic. I don't remember that.
To the original text.
To the original.
But do you know what? I don't know an awful lot. I've never read it, so how could I possibly say?
I mean, absolutely.
I don't know if they said, and a man knocked at the door and said,
oh, Beaker. Yeah. Yes, I don't know. Yes, maybe it's not completely authentic.
It's amazing that we can even fit in Christmas references in
here.
July.
Christmas in July, which is a thing. Did you know that?
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah, there's pubs near here that do a roast and whatnot.
Alfie is looking forward to his Christmas film club coming up, where they watch a Christmas film on one of the streamers.
Just once in July, is that?
Yes, I think so.
And then for December, he only watches Christmas films, is that right?
Yeah, I mean, once Halloween's out the way, it'll be...
It's full throttle.
Yeah, full throttle, really, yeah. I hope you wouldn't mind me saying that, but yeah.
I think we've said it before.
Yeah, he loves it. But I mean, I can't think about Christmas at the moment.
No, neither can I.
It's July, so I suppose.
It's July. Should we do a couple of
some letters?
Emails?
Yes, I'd love that, Suze.
I've got one here.
Oh, go on.
Dearest Susie and Tom, I hope this email finds you well. I, on the other hand, am currently horizontal due to a raging hangover thanks to a night in Manchester's gay village. Please send thoughts and prayers. I've listened to the entire 10 years of this wonderful podcast since September 2024. When I was not feeling that fresh, out of a 2-year relationship. Oh. The pod has always brought an immense sense of comfort and companionship for me during the good and the bad times. So for that, I say a big fat thank you. At the time of writing, I have one chapter left in your fabulous book, Susie. Oh, thanks. No spoilers, please. As a 25-year-old lesbian with sometimes crippling anxiety, who has only in recent years become comfortable with the label lesbian, I can't tell you how comforting and reassuring it has been to hear someone who understands the worries and the wobbles that I have on a daily basis. I didn't know that this had such a lovely praise for me. I didn't know that. I write this hoping for some advice. I think that, you know, an agony aunt show is probably what this should have been. I am trying, but mainly failing, to date currently. But after weeks of rejection, ghosting and cancelled dates, it's really getting me down. And I feel I am spiring into a no one's ever going to love me black hole.
Mm.
I'm on two dating apps, which are a constant source of anxiety.
Yeah.
So I wonder if you have any advice on meeting someone IRL. Maybe it's just anxiety, but I worry I've already gone on too much. Please keep seeing exactly what you do. I simply couldn't cope without my weekly fix of camp comfort in my life. Much love and bye times infinity, Nat. You can use my name.
Nat.
P.S. If there's any soft masks in their late 20s based in Manchester listening, please hit me up.
What do you think?
Well, listen, if you're looking for a soft mask, and listen, I am not saying they're the only people that will be there. There will be many kinds of people there.
What is soft mask?
Like a soft masculine, I guess.
Oh, yes. It's not. Okay. It's not a... I was like, oh, it's a new term I don't know about.
Oh, I don't think so. But of course, the young people know so much more than...
The young people have it. But no, but I can imagine that's right. Yeah.
What I was going to say, Nat, was, have you thought about joining a football club?
I was just thinking...
Some sort of sports club. Because, first of all, there would be sort of specifically queer sports clubs. You haven't said, Nat, whether you've got like a queer group of friends, but of course, that really helps in meeting people. Good to be around other gays, be able to go to places with your friends.
Great advice. So what Susie's saying, like, have you got any friends?
No, but look. Nat is 25 when I was 25.
Well, that's exactly the era we were talking about.
Exactly the era we were talking about. We hadn't even met yet, or we had just met maybe. When I was 25, of course, you were 46 by then.
Of course, but
I didn't have my lesbian friends. I didn't have that many queer friends. What I'm questioning is, reaching out to a sports team or a group that's a sort of a queer group, would that be a great way to potentially meet someone?
I think that's a great advice, because I was only being facetious.
Well, of course you were, because that is your way.
That's my way. Maudlin and then facetious. But then I would absolutely agree. And I always sort of shirked the idea, I think, when I was younger, but the idea of like a social group, if you're not feeling good, because I wouldn't have been confident enough to do any kind of sport, even though people I met on sports teams were always saying, oh, you should come down, you should get involved in the football team or in the rugby team or something like that. There's a place for everybody, which is lovely, but I never felt confident enough to do that, but I kind of wish I had. But also I think there are other sorts of like social groups that one can mingle in.
Yeah.
And I think they can be a good way of finding people that isn't in, like a noisy bar or...
Yeah, I think so. And also in Manchester, there'll definitely be lots of sort of queer groups for different things. But, that takes an awful lot of confidence as well now.
I suppose it's just that status.
But I think once you've done it, once,
you won't regret
it's much
it.
Easier to do it again.
Yes, how true. Just a small step.
Yeah.
I think that's true as well to make... set yourself like a small goal if you are feeling like you're kind of worrying about joining something.
I agree. I hope that helps, Nat. Would you like to share one, Tom, before we leave? We've run over a bit, but I mean, there's not a time allowance on this.
There's not. It's fine. We don't have to stop for the news.
Heavens no.
Oh, Matthew's been in touch. Dear Susie and Tom, I just had to email you at this very moment as I'm in the middle of watching friend of the show, Helen George, in shark celebrity infested waters. And I must say, I'm concerned. I think they've taken Kill the Midwife too far. I'm pretty worried about that. Who is clearly absolutely terrified of diving with the sharks, and who can blame her? If you've not seen it, it's a program where they are training celebrities, Lenny Henry, Ross Noble, Rachel Riley, Lucy Punch, Dougie from McFly, and Adia Depitan et al. To scuba dive around sharks in the Caribbean. Right now, Helen George is about to hold on to a long line surrounded by 15 to 20 reef sharks. I'm not sure my nerves can take it. She's absolutely petrified. And all I wish someone was saying to her is, you can do it, sweetie, in a Trixie-like way. anyway, just wanted to relate to the fact that Kill the Midwife might very well stand a chance of becoming a reality. I obviously really hope it doesn't, and we'll be glued, brackets, albeit with my head behind a cushion, until the end of the program. Love you lots. Bye, says Matt. Matt, thank you for that. Thank you.
But obviously, friend of the show, Helen George.
Obviously, dear friend of the George Helen show. thank you for relating.
I think we saw her after.
She'd
done that. So we know that she got out alive.
Spoiler alert! People might not be ready for that.
Would you do that show?
I think I'd be too scared. I would be spinning.
I think I would cry.
I think I'd have to spend a lot of time getting used to the sharks. And then, but what if one of them did eat you?
Yeah, I don't know how much you want to get used to them. I think I saw Jaws at a really impressionable age, I think. Because I even worry about sharks when I'm in Brighton.
Do they get them in Brighton?
I don't think so. It's very cold, the water. They need to be a bit warmer.
They like a bit of warm water, don't they?
Yeah.
Basking sharks.
Basking sharks. Anyway.
No, you won't find any, I don't think, in Brighton.
No, I don't think so.
Mm,
do you know what? The sharks and this podcast have both had today.
What?
It's been quite deep.
Oh, Suze, I love that.
I think it's quite bad, but you know.
I love that for you. I love that for you. Well, Suze, I know you've got to get on. I've got a busy time ahead.
I do. I've got to get to the chiropractor.
She always says this, everybody.
But do you know what? It's doing wonders.
Really?
Chiropractor and Pilates is doing wonders for my back.
Oh, that's great. Oh, that's good.
Better than any other treatment I've had before. People are interested.
What is the name of the chiropractor, can you say?
Jake.
Jake the chiropractor. Is that the clicky one?
Yes.
And you like it, yeah?
I go in for 10-minute sessions.
That's all?
Yeah. He moves me about. Click, click, click. Moves me about again. And then tells me to go and have a good walk where I really include my arms. So I really look like I'm marching because that's...
That's good for you. Oh.
And then I'm doing Pilates.
Does he have a nice receptionist?
Yes, a couple actually.
Mm,
yeah, very nice. Yeah, really nice. Hi, Susie. Go on through. He's waiting for you.
Oh, that's lovely, isn't it? Thanks, Jake. Thanks, receptionist.
Thanks, Jolyn.
Jolyn.
I'm not sure.
Lorraine. Okay. Know them well. And because I once temped in a chiropractor's.
Oh, clang. Or crack.
yeah. And I've been around. I've done some things. I've lived in my early 20s. So yeah, there you go.
Right, Tom, we simply must go.
Suze, we must go.
We've been wishing on for far too long.
These poor people
have lives.
Yeah, well, thanks for listening, everybody.
Thank you, and if we don't see you through the window,
we'll see you through the week. Okay.
Bye.
How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio.